Family. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them.
Shall we all kneel again for opening prayer? Dear Father in heaven, we want to praise your name on your Sabbath day. We want to thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed on all of us. And dear Lord, help us all, like the song that we had that started the service off, to surrender all to you. That's the hardest thing for all of us to do. Please help us to grow in you, and we ask you a blessing on the sermon today that the pastor is going to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Also for having song service. We really enjoy it. Thank you.
Bob, that was in my notes. Yes, thank you for that special music. It was great. I had a member of the church one time say to me, "Don, you're too open, too honest, too vulnerable." That's just the way I am. And so I'm going to be that way right now. I need your prayers. At my age, I am really struggling with memory. So please pray for me. Give you a case point. As you know, I usually preach using my computer and iPad. I can't remember my iPad code. So I have some notes. I'm just going to have to use paper notes like some other preachers do. But it's a blessing to get old, but it's not always fun. It's a privilege. To be honest with you, I officially retired at the end of April. So because I officially retired at the end of April, today you have a guest speaker, okay? Your guest speaker. So I come up with and looked up and put together 10 sayings that we use, 10 sayings that we use that are not found in scriptures. As Christians, we use them all the time. Some of you, when you say them, you actually think they're scriptures, but they're not. However, they are biblical truths that are taught in principle and in application. Some of them are wrongly applied at times, for sure. Condition, we need to become people of the book. We need to understand and read the scriptures over and over so we're quoting it accurately. So we're quoting it accurately. The Bible, know the Bible, know the scriptures. That's what we need to do. That needs to be our goal in life, is to constantly study the scriptures, know the word, and then be able to share it with others. So here's 10 sayings. You ready? That we use some of us anyway, that are not in the scriptures and cannot be found. So let's look at the first one. The first one is moderation in all things. Moderation. Now, wrongly applied, you can get a wrong message on that. For instance, we could say moderation. We should have alcohol in moderation. So you see, it's not really true, moderation in all things. Not totally true. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 9:25, everyone who completes for the prize is tempted in all things. And they do it to obtain a perishable crown, we an imperishable crown. An athlete in training to receive an honor, he or she will discipline their body, train their will, and strengthen their willpower, and set their mind on a goal. I can remember as a youth, some of these youth back here remember that, I had a basket on a tree with a homemade backboard, and I practiced shooting shots all the time. My two favorite shots were the hook. I shot a lot of hooks. And then from the side, I'd shoot without hitting the backboard. Those are my main shots. Matter of fact, one day we were in scrimmage. I'll never forget. It wasn't actually a game. It was in scrimmage, and the coach was watching us. And I moved into the center, and I remember vividly they threw the ball at me. And because I practiced so much at home, I automatically, without anything, automatically fake to the left, turn to the fake to the right, turn to the left, and shot a hook and made it. And just a few minutes after that, the coach just stopped our whole scrimmage. He says, I want to tell you something right now. He says, hook shots are not really always that good. And I want you as a team to know that no one on this team do I ever want to see you shoot a hook shot, except for Don James. And, of course, after he said that, I never, ever shot another hook shot. I was too embarrassed to do it. But, you know, we practice. We train hard. We discipline ourselves. We strengthen our willpower. We set our minds on a goal. Football. I remember playing football. I played football in high school. And the one thing that I played right in, and the one thing that I was always nervous about, and luckily the quarterback knew it, is for him to send me out for a long pass. If I went out for a long pass and I heard footprints behind me, which usually are footsteps, don't pass the ball to me, because I'll be too worried about the guys right on my tail. So they never did use me for long pass. They always used me for what they called the right in quickie. Now, the right in quickie is when the quarterback starts saying the counts, on the second number, I would take two steps out, cut across the line, and go right down the line until I was right opposite the quarterback, and he'd throw the ball right in my gut so I couldn't miss it. And that's a pass that they used on me all the time because I couldn't miss it. I mean, it was right there. Problem was, it was right there, and then next thing I was on the ground because I wasn't that. There were players all around me. But we always used that for about 1 or 2 yards gain, just enough to gain a little bit more. But, yeah, I got smashed quite a few times. It's wonderful. track. I used to run track. I like sports. I used to run track, and I ran the 440-yard dash, which they called it those days. They're different nowadays. I ran low hurdles, and then I ran on the relay team. Now, it's kind of unique because as I ran with the 440-yard dash, that's a sprint. That's a sprint. You go as fast as you can go, and then I run the low hurdles. That stretched my legs out, and then when I got on the relay team, I was really limber. So those three races were, I'll never forget one day, We were at a track meet, and another school, we were a small school, but another school had some starting blocks. You know what starting blocks are, I hope. Anyway, they're little blocks you put your feet in, and it gives you an extra boost. Gives you an extra boost to get going on the race. And we didn't have those in our school, but we went to a track meet, and another school had them. And so one of my friends of mine, he says, this other school has starting blocks. Why don't we use them? I said, sure, let's do it. So we set our starting blocks all up and got ready for the race. Got them all set up in position, tried them out, and man, I'll tell you, it made a difference. I could really feel it. It made the difference. And so we got ready for our race, and we got in position in these starting blocks, which we'd never used before, and the gun went off. And I'm telling you, I flew out of that starting position faster than I ever had before. And when I went up for the hurdle, I missed it. But I kept going. I kept going as fast as I can go. After I got to the finish line, my partner, he wasn't there either. He missed it too. We were just weren't used to starting blocks. And he was laughing. He says, Don, he says, when you took off and you hit the first hurdle, it looked like a shotgun hit it. It all went to splinters. So, need to practice the things that you need to practice with. Moderation. Yet at the peak of one's potential, moderation is essential. It's essential. Moderation is essential to stay at our peak. If we train and practice too much, we're going to have failure. So everything we do in life needs to be in moderation. In moderation. The second thing I want to share is this statement. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Friends, that is not in scriptures. So let up on your kids, will you? It's not in scripture. It's not there. Wrongly applied, beating your child by itself will not build character. Matter of fact, sometimes it'll do just the opposite. Punishment, the Bible actually teaches us that punishment is one of the many ways to build character. But it says in scriptures, in Proverbs 13:24, he who withholds punishment hates his son. All right, guys, I'm sorry, I had to read that, didn't I? But he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Now, I like the word discipline. Because that's a little softer word than rod. Okay? So there's a difference, I think. A discipline I agree with. The rod, I think, is somewhat extreme. I had two sisters. We grew up in a family, a very loving family. And I have to tell you, honestly, I got two spankings in my whole life. I didn't deserve either one of them, but I got two. The first one, I was a little kid, and my mom had me all bathed, and clean clothes on, and told me to stay in the yard. I was a little guy, and I disobeyed. I went outside the yard, went down the street. Well, a friend of mine came by, and went down the street, the end of the street, and there was a big celery field with irrigation ditches going, and my friend and I decided to play in the irrigation ditch. Well, now I'm all muddy, but I'm having a blast. But I look up, and here comes my mother with a stick. And I was scared. I got out of that mud, and I ran home as fast as I can, right by her. I didn't stop. I just kept going. And when I got in the house, I jumped in my bed. Mud and all. And the bad part of that is mom just changed the bed. That even made it worse. So I always told her when I got older later, I said, Mom, you only spanked me because I dirtied the sheets. She didn't agree, of course. Yeah. One day the second one was my dad being the good boy I was. we sit down to eat dinner. The family always at the table. Sit down to eat dinner, and my mother looks at me and she says, "Did you wash your hands?" I said, "No." Well, she says, "You go wash your hands." I said, "No." And Dad moved his chair, and I moved like lightning to the bathroom. And Dad jumped after me, and he hit the floor rug and landed flat on his face. And I got a spanking. And I told Dad later, "You only spanked me because you fell." What can I say? Huh? Winona was my younger sister, and she never got spanked once in her life. She was so easygoing, so she never, ever got spanked. So I got two. My sister got none. And then my youngest sister, Susie, this day, I think that the reason she got so many spankings, I mean, she got enough spankings that I just lost count. And I always said to myself and to her later, much later, I said, "The problem with you, the reason you got so many spankings is you were mom or duplicates. You were just too much like mom." And she agreed. So anyway, the proverb says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother." Wow. Number three. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now this truth is found in the royal law, love your neighbor as yourself, James 2:8. But it's an embodiment of all human relations. Treat others as we would like to be treated. A similar parallel is, "Whatsoever ye would that men do to you, do even to them." That's found in Matthew 7 and Luke 8. Number four, to thine own self be true. That's not found in the scriptures either. Matter of fact, that's really kind of dangerous, isn't it? To thy own self be true. When does that one self come from? Actually, this statement actually comes from Shakespeare in one of his plays. But it's wrong, because we have an evil nature, if you please. So we have to be careful. We can be true to God, be careful about being true to ourselves. We'll make mistakes. Many times we have non-biblical agendas and goals. We must be true to what? The Word of God. Right. That's what we have to be true to. The Word of God. Yield to God. Pray for guidance and seek counsel from one another. One another. Number five, let your conscience be your guide. Pretty similar, isn't it? Your conscience can point you to God. It says in Romans 2:14-18, the Gentiles show the work of the law written in their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness. Also Acts 23 says, "In all good conscience." But an evil conscience, a conscience is not naturally good. There can be evil conscience. So an evil conscience points away from God. In 1 Timothy 4:2, it says, "Having your conscience seared or branded or scarred with a hot iron." So our consciences aren't always that accurate. We need to live by our consciences if it's following what the Word of God says. The Word of God needs to be our guide. It's possible to obey your conscience. Acts chapter 23, verse 1 says, "I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." That's what Paul says. So we can live in good conscience, but let the Bible and God be our guide. the Bible and God be our guide. Number six, God helps those who help themselves. Well, I have to admit, my mother used this many times. Shouldn't have, but she did. This saying actually comes from a fable, a play, back in 620 B.C. It was a prayer of Hercules. God helps those who help themselves. Ben Franklin was a deist, and he believed that God was not actually involved in men's lives, but God was like an absentee landlord. That was Ben Franklin. But remember this. God intervenes in our life by prayer. He gives us guidance in all circumstances. And he uses scripture. So read the scriptures. Claim the promises. Claim the word of God. Because God holds them up and he'll never back up. Scripture is our answer. Scriptures is our promise. Scriptures is what leads us in life to live a life that God wants us to live. Number seven, God works in mysterious ways. This is actually a hymn in about 1930s by William Cooper. God works in mysterious ways. However, it is a biblical truth. It is a biblical truth that God works beyond the measure of our time and limited experience. We don't always understand, as Deuteronomy says in chapter 29, verse 29, the sacred things belong to God, the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us. So God has all kinds of knowledge that we don't have, but he has revealed things to us, and those belong to us, that we may do all the words of his law. So what God has given us, yes, but we must always trust, according to Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called. Number eight. Once saved, always saved. True? Not really. I was raised a Baptist, and that's what we believe. Once you give your life to Christ, once you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you're saved, and you can't be lost ever. No, every day we need to make a decision to follow Christ. It's a daily experience. Very important. It's a daily experience. You can walk away from Christ anytime you want. You have that freedom. So you have to make a decision every morning. I don't know about you, but every morning when I get out of, I don't even get out of bed. I just sit up on the edge of the bed and I read a scripture promise and I have prayer before I even get on my feet. Every morning I give my heart to God, asking him to lead me and to bless me. How many of you are familiar with the pop cards back there? Hey, several of you? I use those a lot in the morning. I'll read a pop card. Yeah. We have a member of the church, I won't reveal who it is, but he actually puts them online. So I go, open my little iPad up, I mean the iPhone up, and I look and I read the promise for the day and have prayer with God before I even get on my feet. Yeah. Only the person that truly comes to Christ for salvation will be saved. Salvation is never based on strength or repentance. It's never based on prayer. It's never based on works or conversion experience. Salvation is based upon us by accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And that's the only assurance we have of salvation. Those who took our place, he who took our place, excuse me, at the cross, dying the eternal death that we actually deserve. Amazing. What love. he died the death that we deserve, and by accepting him, we'll never die that death. How many say amen? Isn't that great? What a promise. Here's one more. No, not one more. One more nine. Pride goes before fall. This is a biblical truth that, however, comes from Proverbs 16, verse 18. It reads this: pride goes before destruction, and a hardy spirit before a fall. It points out the dangers of pride in our lives, and inevitably will be our downfall. So pride is something we need to be extremely, extremely careful of. It's not biblical. Number 10. The seven deadly sins. So this tenth one is saying, this tenth saying, the seven deadly sins, is not really quoting Christmas scripture at all. In scriptures, there are seven deadly sins. We say the seven deadly sins were popularized actually in 1995. And those seven deadly sins, you want to know what they were? Here's what they were: gluttony, greed, sloth, lust, vanity, envy, and wrath. These seven deadly sins originated in medieval times by Gregory the Great. So they're not scripture. The content may be scripture, but the actual quotes are not found in the scripture. The scriptural list is found in Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, verse 16 and 19. And it reads, "These six things the Lord hates." Yes, seven are abomination to him: proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. These are the actual seven deadly sins. I thought, as I was reading that, I thought, whoa, I don't know how you feel, but that last one is pretty strong. Sowing discord among the brethren. And remember what it says. These seven are deadly. Are deadly. So in closing, if you have never really accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I just want to say this. I want to say this. Do it. Do it now. In your heart, tell Jesus you love him and you want to live for him. Here's a prayer that you can pray. Dear Lord, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died for my sins on the cross and rose again the third day. I repent of my sins, and by faith I receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior. You promised to save me, and I believe you, because you are God, and you cannot lie. I believe right now that the Lord Jesus is my personal Savior, and that all my sins are forgiven through his precious blood. I thank you, dear Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And that prayer, or something similar to it, you and I need to offer every morning. Every morning, you and I need to give our hearts new to Jesus for that day. New for Jesus for that day. And if we pray a prayer like this, I want to promise you that God will hear that prayer. And he will save you. I personally want to welcome you as you have that prayer, as I have that prayer every morning, welcome you to the family of God. May you be blessed, and may you continue to grow in Jesus is my prayer. Amen. Father God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the promises of salvation. And help us to accept Jesus daily, daily, and to walk with him. Bless us to this end, I pray. May this afternoon be a blessed time with you. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name.